Well, good evening. Good to see you all here tonight. Welcome. Glad to have all the young ones and parents, too. We're happy to have everybody here tonight, but the young ones especially. And what a blessing that you're here tonight to help us learn our Bible verses. And you, with the awesome memories, can shine forth and encourage those of us that lost our memories a long time ago. So we do appreciate that. I'm going to start us with a word of prayer, and then we'll get right to our study. Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight, and we thank you for the privilege that this is, this blessing and joy that we have to come together as families and parents and children and single people and just brothers and sisters in Christ, Father. We get to come together to memorize Scripture. We get to turn our eyes upon Jesus as we sang, Father, and what a blessing this is. And to hide your word in our heart, Father, what a privilege. Difficult days may be in store for us, and the word that's hidden in our heart is what's going to sustain us in the time to come. So we thank you for this opportunity tonight. We thank you for the good start we got a week ago. We're looking forward to building on that momentum here tonight. Father, I do thank you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, we'll get our projector up and running here. And then I've experimented with a handful of different Logos layouts, and I don't know that I like any of them. But we'll just keep playing with it. We'll see. Maybe by the end of the 6 weeks, I'll be comfortable with at least one of the layouts. All right, we're going to start our first half of these 6 weeks. Our first 3 weeks are six keys, or six keys of the Christian walk. And we've covered those first two of those six keys. We're going to get two more keys tonight. But who, raise your hand now if you know, what is the first key? Go ahead. Do you know that first key? You're loved by, who loves you? Jesus, there you go. Key number one, you're loved by Jesus. That's outstanding. And so what's key number two? Who knows key number two? Allison. Loved by the Father. Awesome. All right, so we're loved by Jesus. We're loved by the Father. And we're kind of missing a member of Trinity there, so stay tuned for tonight. We'll get key number three coming up with something, I'm guessing, about the Holy Spirit, okay? Cool. And so we're loved by Jesus. There's a Bible verse that talks about being loved by Jesus. It's in John. Who can tell me? Can you tell me? Where is it? Jay, do you know? 9. There you go. John 15:9. Excellent. And there's a verse about being loved by the Father. That's also in John. Cameron. Just give me the address if you know it. John, where we're loved by? John 3:16. Awesome. So six keys. Loved by Jesus, loved by the Father. The verse for loved by Jesus is John 15:9. The verse for loved by the Father is John 3:16. Now we get to the hard part. All right. Now this also we got to have some flexibility because we've been memorizing with different translations, haven't we? All right. I even wrote those down last week. We got New American Standard, New King James, NIV, King James, and ESV, and Holman. I found out also. So we got a broad assortment tonight. Now. John 15:9, we're loved by Jesus. Who learned that this week, first of all? Just raise your hand. Did you learn that, everybody? Anybody not? Okay, cool. That's a lot of hands still up. So that means that everyone ought to be able to just come right up here. Oh, I don't want to embarrass you. This will be the last of the highly attended classes that we have. We'll work on it together as a class. Or if someone wants to stand up and share, that'd be fine. Cameron, do you want to do John 15:9? How about right there where you're standing? You want to cite John 15:9? What does it say? Excellent. Outstanding. And that's a New American Standard translation. Was there another Bible translation that was learned? Was there a New King James? Did you memorize one? Okay. Go ahead. Stand up. You can recite for us, can you? You got to stand up? Remain in my love. There you go. That's a Holman translation, isn't it? Okay. That's awesome. Good job, Lily. That's outstanding. So we got a New American Standard. We got a Holman. We got anything else? We got a New King James or an NIV or anything else? There's a slight difference. I can put them all up here. I got, there we go. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. Yeah, there's an extra now in there, different from the Holman. Yeah, there's slight differences, little translation tweaks from the different versions that we have there. Okay. So if we're loved by Jesus and we're also loved by the Father, what was that verse again? John 3:16? Okay, who memorized John 3:16? I've gotten a couple of you already. Who haven't I gotten yet? Oh, this is hard. Everybody's volunteering. That's amazing. And now I'm going to be stressed trying to know names. Now, Cameron, I got you. All right, I got you. Andres, how about John 3:16? There you go. Thank you, sir. Whoever. Does that include you? Does that include me? I mean, who gets left out with whoever? Nobody gets left out with whoever. That's right. Whoever is whoever, isn't it? We can appreciate that. Absolutely. Well, good job, guys. I wanted to show you something, and I appreciate Jacob putting this together. This is outstanding. If you go to the church website, of course, that's austinbiblechurch.com. Everybody knows that. Here in the teaching schedule, on Sunday night at 6 o'clock, we got Scripture Memory. Look at that. And so you bring up Scripture Memory, and this will bring up, unless we lost our internet again, this will bring up, here we go, our new page for the Scripture Memory class. And this is outstanding. And so you can go here every day and take a look at it. It's got the information for the class. It's got a link to the book at Amazon if you want to actually buy the book that we're using. Not necessary, but it's there if you want to. And then the weekly study down the middle. Do you see that? And this is just a recommended course. It helps you. So it kind of breaks it down throughout the week, gives you something to do each day. So Monday, you want to learn the first verse. We're learning two verses a week. On Tuesday, you want to make that a review day for last week's verses, okay? Not for the new verse you're going to start tomorrow, but for last week's verses. That's your review on Tuesday. Then Wednesday, you learn your second verse for the week. Thursday, you review the two verses you learned this week. Friday is last week's verses. And I think Saturday is good to just learn. It says to learn this week's again, but just go ahead and do everything. Just do everything you got on Saturday and get ready for Sunday. Sunday there, it says day off. Okay, it says day off. Don't believe that. All right, because in the ministry, there is no such thing as a day off. You're just going to, I'm teasing, you're in the Scriptures every day. You're learning the Word of God. And rather than a day off, on Sundays, you're going to come in here at 6 o'clock. There's also a sample here for how to write out your 3x5 card. Who did the 3x5 cards? We need more than that. Everybody get your 3x5 cards, all right, because this is how you drill and this is how you're going to memorize better when you write it out with your own hand. I'm telling you. You will memorize better when you write it out with your own hand and you see it, you hear it, you write it. It's really going to help your memory. So in the top left corner, you got six keys, loved by Jesus. And then on the top right corner, it's 1/1/1. Okay. And this is just the system that's utilized by this book that we're adapting. That first number will always be a one unless we do a complete year and move on to year two. And then that first number can become a two if we move on to year two. The middle number is the week one, and then the last number refers to either the first or second verse that we're learning for that week. Then you write out the verse, you write out the address, and there you go. If you have multiple people in your family, you may want to write your name on it so no one swipes it and claims it as their card, and so forth. All right, so six keys, and we have week one, John 15:9, and John 3:16. All right. And then, by the way, over here in the right-hand column, you've got the audio files. So last Sunday night's class is there. Tonight's will be posted there. And all the Sunday night classes, the audio will all be there. It'll be in a handy spot to come to as we proceed through this course. All right. Let's talk about... I want to read a chapter, and then I'll introduce our verses for the new week. Yeah. How do I review? Verses, good information on here about learning and forgetting. Don't do that. Okay? Most people find that by tomorrow they've forgotten the verse they learned today. And that's me. I tell you, I can memorize all kinds of things, pass a test, and then forget it the next day because who cares? Test is over, class is done. That's actually a terrible, terrible pattern for study. No, you want to learn and remember. And that means review, that means drill, that means make it a part of you, that means dwell on it, chew on it, think about it. Repeating today what you learned yesterday, repeating day after day, day after day, day after day. And that's why doing it as a family helps. Because how often do you see your family? Every day. That's right. So every day you got a chance to talk to your mom about it, talk to your dad about it, review your verses, and that's important. And this text really stresses the review days, the Tuesday and Friday review days. And we'll discuss that more as we get into really pretty much weeks, for the first 6 weeks, we'll just review everything to date, everything previous during our review days. All right, before I get to second week's verses, let me read a motivational chapter for you here. Now, this is a second resource I highly recommend. This is by N.A. Wojcik. You need to memorize Scripture. And if you don't believe that you need to memorize Scripture, let me just stress, you need to memorize Scripture, particularly since we have such dark days coming up. All right, this won't take too long. About the same as last week. This is chapter 2 called Memory. Memory, said Aeschylus, is the mother of all wisdom. And memory, Cicero agreed, is the treasury and guardian of all things. The little girl, however, had a different view when she defined memory as the thing I forget with. All right. God gave us memory, someone said, so that we might have roses in December. Memory is our God-given power of retaining what we have learned and recalling it at a later occasion. We fail to appreciate fully what a great trust God has given each one of us when, among many other endowments, He gave us the amazing capacities of the brain, including the one called memory. Life would be virtually impossible without it. Memory underlies our ability to think rationally and to make decisions. All the movements in our daily life are determined by it. Imagine what it would be like if we tried to drive a car and did not remember which was the accelerator and which was the brake pedal. In all situations, we react in accordance. That's not quite as funny since I'm teaching my daughter driver's ed right now. In all situations, we react in accordance with what we remember. In the final analysis, we know only what we can actually remember. Without the excellent faculty called memory, man would be a poor, destitute, naked being, making the same mistakes and falling into the same accidents again and again. All of life would be lived in the present moment. In the practical aspects of life, we all seem to find it difficult to retain the things that excel. In part, this may be due to the influence of the world system in which we live. We all struggle with the demands of tyranny of, I'm sorry, the demands and tyranny of the immediate. Certain things in the course of making a living clamor for urgent attention. The failures of yesterday tend to oppress us. The uncertainty of the future makes us afraid. Oliver Wendell Holmes said, "Memory is a crazy witch. She treasures bits of rags and straw and throws her jewels out the window." Memory can be fickle and remain capricious even after we have become new creatures in Christ Jesus. We seem to forget how God has lifted us up out of the miry clay and the way in which He has helped us all along life's journey. We forget His benefits. We forget or take for granted His mercy, which endures forever. Although memory seems to have some very big holes through which some valuable things drop away into oblivion, as a dear saint remarked, yet it is only by the use of this faculty that we possess real knowledge and the riches of God's revelation. The memory is like a secure bank. Money deposited in such a bank is not only safe, but it bears interest, which accumulates with time. A memory stored with Scripture and enlightening human compositions is better than a large savings account. The precious promises of God will yield dividends, which, though intangible, will be of more personal enrichment than material possessions. And maybe there's no greater illustration of that than the fact that you've loved ones that you can't keep around because they depart through physical death. But what do you still have once they're in heaven? You still have the memory, don't you? That's right. So the next section here is on improving the memory. Observation leads us to believe that there are some people who are endowed with prodigious memories at the time of birth. I've heard of those kind of people. I'm not one. Lord Macaulay lived from 1800 to 1859, who had an auricular mind, after hearing an oration could repeat every word of it, as if he were reading it. Indeed, he was reading it off the scroll of his brain, which, like a sensitive photographic plate, recorded faithfully every sound it received. He could recite Milton's monumental epic Paradise Lost in its entirety. Francis Ridley Havergal, who has several hymns in our hymnal, lived from 1836 to 1879, committed to memory all of the New Testament, the Book of Psalms, and Isaiah while still in her teens. Later, she added all the minor prophets. All right, such people are the rare exceptions. But we should not excuse ourselves from memorizing Scripture by saying that we have a bad memory. All right, if that's your excuse, we're going to destroy that excuse here tonight. In time, the memory may gradually lose its reliability, not because it is bad. I skipped a sentence. As a matter of fact, most of the authorities in this field staunchly maintain there is no such thing as a bad memory. In time, memory may gradually lose its reliability, not because it is bad, but due to inadequate exercise of it. Our memories at any age level can be gradually improved by disciplined exercise and use of them. Do not be afraid to trust your memory. Test it. Put it to use. Do not allow it to grow weaker. We all know that any muscle or limb of the body is strengthened with proper exercise. Milo, the Greek athlete, 6th century BC, six times victor in wrestling in both the Olympic and Pythian games, took up a young calf and daily carried it on his shoulders. As the calf grew, his strength grew also, and he at last reached sufficient firmness of joints to bear the full-grown animal. Memorizing and reciting is to your mind what physical exercise is to the body. Our memories will gradually improve in proportion to the exercise and use of them. If we do not try to use them, they will become almost lost. Those who are inclined to remember only a verse or two will retain only a verse or two. Most folks, when asked to recite a Bible verse, will say John 3:16. That's a good thing we started with that one, right? And half of them will not recite it word perfect. Those who have been accustomed to remember things but for an hour will retain them but for an hour before they vanish. Rise up, beloved. Let the Spirit of God stir up your pure minds. Learn new scripture. Charge your memories to retain. Repeat the verses a time or two and then attempt to recite them. Do not give up. Do not lose priceless faculty of remembering as you grow older. Instead of complaining that you have a bad memory, try to convince yourself that your memory is fine, but that it needs to be exercised. Do not give up. Begin the discipline that is required in memorizing. All right, almost done. Retaining and recalling. Memorizing is generally characterized as a three-stage process: learning, retaining, and recalling. Learning is the first stage in the memory process, trying to place the words and thought into your mind for the first time. This is called acquisition. And there are two kinds of learning, that which is done intentionally and that which is done incidentally and unconsciously. You remember it without trying to remember it. You remember it because you've read it so many times with great delight. Retaining is the storage of what has been learned. That's the second part. Retaining is the storage of what has been learned. Your brain is likened to a large series of filing cabinets into which every single thing you see, hear, and read is immediately filed. It is better retained if some attempt is made to categorize the material being learned. Recalling or retrieving is the stage in which you try to bring back to mind the information that has been learned and retained. You'll become aware that real memorization has occurred when you attempt to recall the verses that you have learned. All right, then the next part of this breaks into the difference between short-term, medium-term, and long-term memory. And what we're doing with the repeated use of day after day after day, reading and reciting and practicing and drilling, that's what's going to promote the long-term memory, that you're going to have these verses long after we finish our six-week course or our one-year course or whatever the Lord ends up putting us through. The last section, then, is titled Use It or Lose It. Okay? God has given you a memory. Use it or lose it. Use it for the best possible purpose in laying up the precious word of the living God in your memory. God has given you a healthy mind, a sound memory. God has given you His wonderful word. What is it that fills the spaces of your memory? Because I trust you, whatever you stash away in there is what you're going to remember. I got things I wish I could forget, but I spent too much time dwelling on them. And now you wonder, can I ever forget them? Supposing you had an expensive little chest, gold-plated and the lid studded with precious stones. Everybody marvels at it and is curious as to what such a rare encasement would contain. They are thoroughly intrigued and can hardly wait to see. The lid is snapped open, and imagine their reaction when they notice the rubber bands, buttons, paper clips, old receipts, parking tickets, etc. What a disappointment. What a shame to have a valuable chest all lined in velvet and to see it being used for collecting bits of trash. That golden chest, friend, is your memory. God gave it to you so that you may store in it His precious word. Delight in the blessed word of God. Allow it to excite your soul and captivate your whole attention. Think upon it, ponder it, enjoy it. Say it with the psalmist, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day." All right. So, that's chapter 2. And like I said, we're going to do a chapter of this each week, the first six chapters. Won't read the whole book, but if you want the opportunity, again, we can get that to you, and you can order one yourself. All right. Second week's verses. All right, so who's giving up after 1 week? Put your hand down. All right. He's just joking with me. All right. No one's given up after 1 week. You got two verses down, and there's no reason to give up. We're going to keep working on it. We're going to add two more verses this week. And so if you add two to the two you already have, what are you going to have next week? Cool. All right, four. Yeah. All right. Here are the two verses for your second week. You'll see that they continue the theme of love. Six keys to the Christian walk, and love seems to be the common theme to these six keys. You probably spotted that. Last week, you memorized about how you are loved by Jesus and loved by God the Father. The first verse for this week focuses on how this love of God comes to us through the Holy Spirit. And then the second verse for this week centers on how Jesus loved us so much that he died for us. All right, so as you progress through this course, look at each verse, and before you memorize it, pray about what it is saying to you personally. All right, so key number three is that you are loved through the Spirit. Loved through the Spirit. And this is what you'll write, six keys, loved through the Spirit. In the top right-hand corner, it's 1/2/1, your second week, first verse. And the scripture for this comes in Romans 5:5. And hope does not disappoint us. This is actually NIV here. Hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. Romans 5:5. So God has poured out his love into our hearts by or through the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. Then your second verse for the week is going to come from John 15:13. No greater love. That's your fourth key. No greater love. Loved by Jesus, loved by the Father, loved through the Holy Spirit, and no greater love. That's your fourth key. No greater love. John 15:13. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. So by this time, 1 week from tonight, we will have four verses down, including Romans 5:5 and John 15:13. I'm going to go ahead and bring up. Here we go. I need to add a verse. Romans 5:5. And I forgot already. John 15:13. We'll add John 15:13. I'll go in later and add the headings. All right. Who here is doing the New American Standard? All right. Then this is how it reads in Romans 5:5. And hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So that's going to line up real well with loved through the Holy Spirit. Who's got our New King James? Those are some of the Awana kids here and others with New King James. Okay. Now, it's now hope instead of and hope. Now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. These are all going to be very, very close together. And hopefully they're not so close together that if you have a variety of scriptures within the same family, then try to pair up with somebody that has a similar Bible text to the one you're using. The original King James, 1611, 17th century. There we go. All right. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. All right. You heard that verse before? Yeah, you'll have that one. All right. NIV, and hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. I forget, who was the ESV? Was that Earl or somebody else? Was ESV Irma? Oh, you're changing back. Okay, is there anybody left at ESV or should I dump this one? I can certainly drop it out. Okay, I'll drop that out. And then Holman. Susie, were you doing Holman? And Lily's doing Holman? Okay, and you're doing Holman? Awesome. This is the newest one, by the way. I mean, this is just less than 10 years old, and they took 20 years to put it out. And solid, evangelical, conservative. I'm finding it to be very enjoyable. This hope will not disappoint us because God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. All right. Now, what did we talk about last week? What are the tools we have? What do we recommend for you to actually learn this? You heard it once. You saw it. What are some of the devices that are going to help you lock this into your thinking? What are you going to do to learn this? Write it down. Yeah, use your own. Don't let your mom and dad write it down. You write it down in your own card, okay? That's going to really help. What else? Say it out loud. Yeah, say it out loud. Your ear will actually remember your voice better than it remembers my voice, okay? Your ear and your voice. So say it out loud. I even suggested you could record it into your computer and just put it on continuous loop and play it for about 3 straight hours, you know, over and over and over again until you got it ground in there. But read it out loud, see it with your eyes, hear it with your ear, say it over and over again, lock it in, okay? And then drill. Do it a phrase at a time. I mean, that's not a short verse. So start with, and hope does not disappoint. Just take it a phrase at a time and build on it until you have it down, until you have it word for word. We've done it, we didn't do it this week, but in the past we've done it where we go back and forth with different phrases. So I'll throw it out to Christopher, I'll say, and hope does not disappoint. And he'll have to add the next phrase, and I've got to come back with the next phrase, and he's got to come back with the next phrase. And so we do the back and forth, and if one of us messes up, typically me, Christopher will catch me on it and say, oh no, you missed a word there. All right. So Romans 5:5, John 15:13. Any questions on that? All right. Let me say a prayer. Okay. Can we pray together over these verses? And there's some doctrine in these verses, right? Okay. Almighty Father, I thank you that we have the opportunity to hide your word in our heart. And Father, we don't just want to memorize words and not understand what they mean or not understand what we're supposed to do about them. Father, there's people that memorize the digits of pi out to hundreds and thousands. It takes hours to recite them. And why do they do that? What eternal fruit does that produce? But we can learn about the love that's been poured, shed abroad, distributed. Your love, Father, comes to us through the Holy Spirit. And so, Father, I pray that we would come to understand why the Holy Spirit's important in our lives, why it's important to be filled with the Holy Spirit, why we don't want to be carnal. Father, if we're out of fellowship, then this Holy Spirit is not active in what we're thinking about or what we're doing. So, Father, I pray that the reality of this verse would reach each one of us. And I thank you, Father, in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so that's Romans 5:5. Our second verse for the week is John 15:13. It's a shorter one. How about that? Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. Now, do you know anybody that laid down his life? You know anybody that died for somebody else? Who might I be talking about? Or who might this verse be talking about? Cameron, who do you think this is talking about? Jesus, yeah. Did he lay down his life? Why did he do that? Why did Jesus die? For our sins, that's right. That's outstanding. Thank you, Violet. He died for our sins, yeah. And trust me, is there anybody in this room that doesn't sin? I mean, we all sin, right? Yeah, we do. We all sin. Jesus is the only one without sin. And you know, when you think about, and the Bible says, what is the greatest thing that love can do? Is there anything greater than this? Is this like the ultimate? Is this the greatest? Is this the pinnacle? That one lay down his life for his friends. So is there anybody that loves you more than Jesus loves you? No. That's right. I mean, your parents love you, right? And your brothers and sisters love you most of the time, right? And your pastor loves you. And other people love you. But understand that even those who love you here on this earth can still hurt you and fail you and fall short. But who's never going to fail you? Who's never going to hurt you? Cameron. Yeah, that's right. God or Jesus? Absolutely. Greater love has no one this than one lay down his life for his friends. Now, if this is the love that Jesus had, here's my next question. Are we supposed to do something with this kind of love? Should we have the same kind of love? Or is that only Jesus that has that kind of love? Well, he has it, that's right, but we should also copy it. We should have that same love as well. In fact, husbands, every husband in this room, and not just this room, but on the planet, okay, every husband is supposed to have the love for their wives that Jesus had for the church. And then I look at a verse like that and go, wow. All right. This is a responsibility. So, should we be praying for our husbands? Should we be praying for our fathers? Should we be praying for our families? Absolutely. That becomes important too. Okay. All right. Last thing I want to say then, related to, I read already the, or did I forget it? You know, isn't there a certain irony when you're leading a scripture memory class and something you intended to do? All right. And I just can't quite remember. If you ever come into my office, I've got a book there on the shelf. It's called How to Improve Your Memory. Right? And this is no lie. Absolutely no lie. I can't remember if I've finished that book or not. Isn't that terrible? All right. I'm tempted to reread it just for the sake of knowing for sure that I finished it, but it's kind of amusing to be able to tell that story, so I actually don't let myself take that book off the shelf anymore. All right. This, if you do buy this book, the one advantage to the book rather than the Logos resource is the Logos resource doesn't have the fold-out chart in the back of your Logos Bible software. But if you buy the book, then and it's $3 or something, you'll pay more for shipping than you will for the book. But if you get the book, then you'll have this pull-out chart. And this chart has all 100 verses for the 1 year of Scripture memory. And it organizes for you. And I just want to share with you some of the encouragement of what we can have if we stick with it. Of course, we start with six keys, right? Six keys, and that's what we're in right now. What's the first key? Love by Jesus. Second key? Love by the Father. Third key? Love through the Holy Spirit. Fourth key? No greater love. Excellent. What's the fifth key? No, it's not your fault. I haven't told you yet. We'll get that next week. God is love. Okay. And then the sixth key, no separation from love. And praise God for that. Romans 8. All right. Then the next six verses are all going to come from God's plan for salvation, or God's plan of salvation. And verses you probably know from Sunday school or scripture memory or Awana, but they're going to be good for all of us to work on together. And including one that we're going to have to change because I won't allow my congregation to memorize Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. I will not permit us to learn that as a salvation verse. So before we get to that, I will substitute a better verse in there. If we go beyond 6 weeks, if we go into July and August and through the rest of the summer, the next six are awesome because they are Jesus' I am messages in the Gospel of John. I am the bread, I am the light, I am the gate, I am the good shepherd, I am the resurrection and the life, the way, the truth, and the life. Some good verses there in John. And boy, then we really get cooking because then we got 10 verses on the Holy Spirit. Then we got 12 verses on Bible promises, 16 verses about Jesus and his cross, 6 verses about how can I be sure, powerful passages on assurance. 10 verses on how can I grow, 4 verses about witnessing for Jesus, 4 verses that are words of comfort. And you say, I don't really want to wait until week 41 to learn some verses on comfort. Well, come talk to me. I'll give you the verses tonight. And then it ends. How's this for awesome? We have 6 verses that are going to be from Psalm 23, the entirety of Psalm 23, verses 1 through 6. And then finally, weeks 46 through 52 is 1 Corinthians 13. How about that? Wrapping up a year of Scripture memory, 100 verses of Scripture memory, and the culmination of that is 1 Corinthians 13. All those verses about love. So we could, if as the Lord provides, and as the Lord blesses, and as we come to enjoy the blessings of putting His Word in our heart, we could, a year from now, be wrapping up 100 verses and saturating our thinking with all kinds of promises and all kinds of truth. And I look forward to that. Okay. Am I the only one getting antsy so far? How are we doing? Can we make 7 more minutes? No. Not only do I have a bad memory, I have poor hearing. This is just for our seminary students and anyone else that wants to take a look at this. Hope that does not disappoint is the Elpis. Heda Elpis u kataiskune. Why does hope does not disappoint? Because hati he agape tu theu. Again, it's agape love. All of these love passages are going to be agape love. Unconditional integrity love. Not the romance, not the rapport, not the goofy things this world calls love. The agape of God, ekkekutai, there's a fun verb, poured, shed abroad, flows. Have fun with a word study on that. In our cardias. Why do we need God's love in our cardia? If we don't get God's love in our cardia, if He doesn't create in us a new cardia, a new heart, what are we stuck with? Yeah. And what kind of heart is that old heart? It's a wreck. Deceitful above all else and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So it's important that we have the agape of God that's shed abroad in our cardias through pneumatos hagiou, the Holy Spirit which has been given to us. So we can appreciate that. All right, and then lastly, and we'll call it a night, John 13, what is it? Why can I remember that? John 15, 13. Greater love has no one than this. Mesana tautes agapein. So greater than this love, udes, not one person, nobody. Nobody has. In order that, tis tain psuke, now to the soul. The word for life there is the psuke, is the soul. Lays down his life for his friend. Ton philon out to. Okay, so that's kind of in the thê there is a subjunctive on tithemi. Okay, so that's interesting. Those of you that are doing your Greek word studies can track some of those things down. You have a good time with that. But when it says nobody or no one, you know what that means? Yeah, it means no one. It means nobody. Not one. Not one thing. Not one person. Not one body. All right? There is no greater love than this. And so we can appreciate that. Let me say a prayer, and we'll be good for tonight. We'll take a few minutes because soteriology or Christology doesn't start till 7:30. So we have a few minutes to fellowship a little bit, visit with verses. I want to talk to you young kids, too, and make sure you got your verses down. I'll be quizzing you. And then we'll call it a night. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your truth. And Father, we thank you for the new scripture program you're putting before us and the chance that we have as parents and children, husbands and wives, single people, brothers and sisters in Christ. And Father, this is a joy that we can fellowship over the promises you've given us, the words. Father, we want to hide them in our heart. And this is for everybody. Father, the youngest believer in this room has every right to claim this treasure. And what a joy that we can work together this way in our priesthood. I thank you, Father, that I can get to know the youngest members of this flock through this class. And what a joy this is. And I'm thankful that they get to come here on a Sunday night and sing with their mom and dad and read the Bible with their mom and dad and learn the verses with their mom and dad and build some memories that are going to last them for all their days. Father, I thank you in Christ's name. Amen. All righty. Get those verses down. We'll do this again next week.